So good afternoon. I'm Salman. I'm here with Inception Mobile, and we're here to talk about porting, everyone's favorite subject, specifically porting from iOS to Tizen. Now, I say Tizen, but our approach will actually apply equally well to Android, to Windows, to BlackBerry, to essentially any modern mobile platform. But we'll talk specifically about Tizen first. Just a little about myself. I'm one of the co-founders. We're a startup based out of Waterloo, Canada, and we're here largely through the largesse and generosity of Samsung's Open Innovations Group, who is our primary funder at this point. So again, everyone knows this, especially technical people. You come into work one fine day, and your manager tells you to port some piece of software to something. But the truth is, it's boring. It's not fundamentally creative work. It's kind of tedious. There's all sorts of issues to fight with. It's the kind of thing that has to be done, but no one enjoys doing it. So our solution is, well, just simply don't, because there's fundamentally no reason to port applications. If you look at devices, essentially they're remarkably similar. They're slabs of glass running ARMv6 or ARMv7 processors. Underneath, they have GPS, they have network connectivity, and so on. There's no real fundamental scientific engineering reason to port your application, so just don't. So yeah, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could take your iOS application, kind of send it through some magical process, and then out the other end have a Tizen application or an Android application fall out? And actually, that's exactly what we can do. Now, I'll just maybe show you a very, very quick demo. So here's a really simple iOS application running in the Xcode simulator. Again, nothing to write home about, but simple enough to kind of show you what's going on. And we can actually see that same application. So here's my Tizen device. Hopefully, there's not too much glare, but we can actually see that same application running on the Tizen device. You're more than welcome to come up afterwards and sort of see this running. So this actually requires not one line of source code change, no modifications. You have your UI kit, you have your core animation elements. If you can see the, whoop, wrong way. So you can see the core animation elements, you can see the mirror effects, all of UI kit, all of core animation, all of core data. It literally just works, and there's, again, not one line of source code changes required. In fact, in most cases, we don't even need access to the source code. We can just take the binary and just run the thing. And lest we start to think that maybe we're sort of limited to lower performing applications, enterprise or corporate applications, here's our really popular, here's Temple Run. Again, I apologize if you can't see it, but again, you're more than welcome to come up afterwards and take a look. Running at full 60 frames per second. And again, not one single line of source code changes. I'm terrible at the game, but that's a different issue. So, any questions? No, I'm kidding. Now there are obviously some details here. And I'm happy to talk a bit about those. If anyone does have questions, feel free to shout them out during the presentation, or I'll be happy to take questions afterwards. But please make sure to use the microphones when asking. So we'll just very quickly talk about what APIs we support, what the process actually looks like. How do you actually build and simulate and debug and deploy on Tizen? Now, obviously, there are fragmentation issues. You have different screen sizes, you have hardware extensions, and so on. How do we deal with those? And obviously, no modern game, no modern application exists on its own. They all lean on large numbers of third-party libraries. So how do you deal with those? And then just a bit about customization. But first, I think there's a few points we really have to address. So we're not an HTML5 or a web-based solution. We're 100% native. We take native applications compiled, using Objective-C, C, C++, and we make those apps work. And you don't have to use any custom APIs that we've defined or we've written. So you're taking your existing iOS apps, that you've written to, again, use core animation, use core data, use all those great APIs that exist and for which there's a huge amount of existing code that you can now leverage and you can bring onto the Tizen platform. Now, that's not to say there's anything wrong with the web or with Java or with AIR or any of that. You know, if that's your strategy, great, run with it. We don't think that's the best strategy for a bunch of reasons, including performance, including battery life, and so on. But nothing wrong with those things. We're a native play. But when I say native, I mean that in the most literal sense. We're not a VM. We're not an emulator. We're not some sort of middle layer, which is why, again, you will see we can get 60 frames a second. We can get outstanding scrolling. There's no battery life trade-offs, any of that. We're a purely native solution. And just a quick caveat, so we're mostly right now talking about phone and tablet applications. There are other Tizen embodiments, automotive, smart TVs, and so on. There's no reason this approach can't work for those. That's just not what we're talking about today and right now. Right now, we're focused on phones and tablets. So, what do we do? Essentially, everything. If you have an application written up to iOS 6.0, you can bring that today, again, with no source code modifications, onto Tizen. So all your favorite UI kit elements, your scroll views, OpenGL-based apps, you saw Temple Run earlier. And I think a very important point to note about OpenGL is we're not providing the stack. We're not providing a re-implementation of those things. So there is no performance trade-off. Your application is running against the native OpenGL stack provided by the Tizen system, which actually performs outstandingly well, which is why, again, I can run through some demos afterwards. But you'll see it actually performs really, really well. Your social functionality, so if you want to integrate with Facebook or Twitter or any of those things, core data, multimedia, audio, video playback, all those sorts of things will also just work. Now, payments is a bit of an interesting one. What we've actually done is we've mapped StoreKit, so Apple's payment APIs, we've mapped them transparently onto the payment APIs provided by the target platform. So this works today. It works outstandingly well on Android and on the BlackBerry platform, and we're building this out for Tizen right now. So your application can take full advantage of in-app purchase, of ad revenue streams, of all those sorts of things, and those will continue to just work with an absolute minimum amount of setup on your part. Obviously, you do have to have accounts on the relevant backend stores and so on, but as far as your source code is concerned, there's none of that set up. We actually take care of all of that for you with our tooling. So, that's a little odd. Sorry. Excuse me 1 second. All right. Push the wrong button there. All right, so how do we actually do this? What's the process? We have two models. One of them is we actually start with your Xcode project. So we'll take your Xcode project, we'll take your source and your assets and so on. We'll run it through our own custom build process. So first we take your Xcode project, we generate makefiles out of it. Again, that's a one-line script on our part. And then you just build the project. And that's really all it takes. And I'll actually run through a quick conversion for you guys. So again, no source modifications. You don't have to fight with the build system. We parse the Xcode project file. We'll run all your offline scripts and all your packaging tools for you. Full header and API compatibility. No changes required. And in fact, you don't even need a Macintosh. So I'll actually do a demo here very quickly. So here I have my Linux VM. We have just a very simple Xcode project, so I'll just run my command line tool. Oops, can't type. Let's try this again. So you give it the name of the Xcode project you want to convert, whether you want to do a debug or a release. I'll just do a debug one because it's simpler. Generates the make file, and then literally just make -f, and that's it. So now you've actually built your Xcode project. And so that's lovely and all. Nope. There we go, sorry. All right, so now how do you want to... So you do this conversion, you build your project, and you want to actually deploy it, but you want to make sure it's going to look right. So how do you debug? How do you test and debug this this whole process? Now, again, if most of you guys are developers here, you kind of know that on-device debugging kind of sucks. The tools aren't great. USB cables fall out. It's not a pretty scenario. So what we've actually done is we've developed a Windows-based simulator. So you can take your iOS project, you build it through our tools, and you can simulate, you can debug on Windows. So you can use Visual Studio, which is still by far the best development IDE out there. You can simulate your different screen sizes, your different aspect ratios. You can simulate different geographies. You can say, well, my device is here, is there, so on and so forth. So again, I'll just very quickly run through a demo of this for you guys, I think. There we go. So, Visual Studio environment, Windows, and here are a bunch of iOS applications. I've run through and actually converted. I'll just pick the first one. I just have a bunch of logging because it looks cool, but you don't have to have all that on. So again, this is a relatively popular iOS app. I don't know if any of you guys have played it, Zombies versus Aliens. So yeah, you can click through, you can start playing. Oops, get through some of this. So it's kind of a cool app, but the point is you can actually see what it would look like on a device with this screen size. And obviously you can simulate multi-touch. We can simulate all the in-app purchase things. I can deploy little guys to defend my fort and so on and so forth. Now if this application were to crash or if I were to look at the layout and say, okay, I don't like the way it looks on a screen of this size or of this orientation and so on, I can change all those right within Visual Studio. I can see how those would look, and I would then have the ability to go back and change my zip files or change my source code or change any of that to make sure that it would work really, really well on devices of this sort. So I'm just getting killed, so I'll just quit here. There we go. And go away. And you have your logging here, you have your debugging here, so like I said, you don't have to worry about fighting with command line, GDB, any of those sorts of things. Now, we do also have extensions whereby you can actually use Visual Studio and do on-device debugging. That's something we're still working on for Tizen. But you can do 99% of your test debug cycle on a desktop without ever even fighting with the devices. There we go. All right, so as I was saying, on-device debugging does kind of suck. It is necessary, and you can't completely get rid of it, but for 95% of your issues, you can do it without ever touching the device. And as I said, you can configure everything, screen sizes, orientations, geographies, all that sort of stuff. You can completely configure it within the development environment. There we go. All right. Now, there are differences. Obviously, as much as I did say earlier that all devices are the same, there are these big slabs of glass and so on, there are some differences, and there are differences that you may want to take advantage of. You can obviously completely ignore them, but that's entirely up to you guys. So if you want to, for example, integrate with the back button on your Tizen device or take advantage of NFC APIs, you have a couple of options. One is we can present and we can expose custom events for you to tell you that, oh, the user pressed the back button, the user pressed the menu button, and then you can have your application behave accordingly. And those classes and those functions will just do nothing when you do your iOS build. We have those stubbed out when you deploy for iOS. And the other option, kind of in line with this, is you can maintain your one source space, and when you want to do very specific things, you can do them in line. So you can say if def starboard, starboard is our platform, target Tizen, target Android, et cetera, et cetera, and you can put your changes directly in line with the rest of your code. Perhaps the canonical use case for this would be if you have links out to stores. You'll probably have some URL string that'll say, you know, itunes.apple.com, which you'll change to store.samsung.com or Google Play or so on and so forth. And you can do those completely in line. So I'll just show you a really quick example of what that actually looks like. And I'll just do this on my... And hopefully I can get this lined up just right. So here's that same application. So I'm just going to scroll through and I'll maybe click on one of the elements. And then if I actually click the back button, the application moves back to the previous screen. So it does behave in line with your expectations. And that's literally a one-line change if you want to do something very custom. If you're using standard UIKit controls, so if there is a standard back button as there is on this application, we can actually detect that and wire those two events in for you automatically. So again, that behavior that you saw sort of going backwards using the hardware back button required no source changes. But obviously you can customize anything beyond their menu buttons and so on. There we are. Now we talked a bit about third-party libraries. And this is really where porting becomes interesting. Because yes, okay, every platform has OpenGL, every platform is going to have OpenAL, and so on and so forth. But certainly not every platform is going to at launch have Flurry, for example, or is going to have any of the third-party either analytics or monetization tools that you perhaps need to really make your application very compelling and really make the most out of it, get the most user data and get the most money out of the application that you can. So to deal with this question, we actually have three approaches. So option one is, well, if the source is available, so Facebook, for example, Facebook still offers the source for their iOS SDK. So you can literally just download that SDK as is, not touch one line of source code, build it using our tools, package it in with your application, and now you have Facebook integration. So option two is if your application uses a library for which an equivalent Tizen version does exist, again, you don't have to touch your application's source code because we've provided calls that will trampoline those calls that your application makes from that library onto the Tizen provided one. So if your app integrates with Flurry, you can use the standard iOS Flurry APIs, and we just trampoline those over. You'll get your metrics, and the library will just report them back correctly. Now, the third option is kind of the interesting one. Now, not only do we offer source code compatibility, but we actually have binary compatibility. So I said earlier, in most cases, we can run apps without having access to the source. So we can do the same thing with libraries. So if you do have permission from the library developer, so if you went to Flurry and said, hey, do you mind if I ship your iOS version on my Tizen device? You can actually integrate completely transparently with our runtime, take the app, bundle in those libraries, and they will just continue to work as they did. So again, you literally have to do nothing. You can treat Tizen from this perspective as just another iOS deployment. You can go to their iOS developer pages, download their iOS tools, bundle it all together, and ship the thing. So there's no concern about third-party libraries or that gap existing. So there's no excuse to make your apps awesome. Now, the last point, or one of the last points we just want to touch on very quickly is customization. Now, a lot of the applications I showed you before looked like iOS apps, and that's very intentional, just to show the level of compatibility that we do have. But there's actually no reason for that, because we, and by extension you, the application developer, are the ones controlling what the UIKit elements, where they are, and because we're the ones drawing them, we can actually control what they look and feel like. So our implementation of the UIKit elements are actually fully themeable and customizable. You probably can't see that. But anyway, take my word for it, come up later. We can actually theme all the UIKit elements. So you can make your application look like a completely native Tizen app. It doesn't have to have the iOS look and feel. So I don't know, maybe some of you guys can see this actually. So we can theme the colors, the scroll rates, all those sorts of things are completely customizable, completely themeable. So your app will look, will behave, will feel like a native Tizen application. So just very quickly wrapping up, again, from our perspective, porting is kind of boring. It's really not fun work, and it's really not even necessary. 99% of the porting work is just grunt work. It's not necessary. But you don't have to trade off. You don't have to limit yourself to what HTML5 offers, either in terms of functionality or in terms of performance and battery life or any of those things. You can have a native app, and you can have all the great third-party libraries and all that great third-party functionality without worrying about porting. So really, you can think about this as bringing Objective-C and the related APIs as a first-class development language on Tizen, and of course on Android and BlackBerry and so on. But you can just think about it in those terms. You can have your one development team who knows iOS and who knows Objective-C in and out, and you can repurpose that same team to deploy for Tizen. And as I said, you can do an absolutely brilliant job of it. The applications will just work. They'll run wonderfully. So feel free to ping me with any questions offline. You can sign up on our website to keep informed or to actually sign up for our beta, and we'll make our beta tools and our full SDK available to you. So that would include the Windows simulator, the command line tools, the whole nine yards. So with that, I'm actually happy to take any questions. Just walk up to the mics. Yeah.
Can you just please elaborate a little bit about the business model? How do you make money? What do we need to pay?
Yeah, so if we're talking about Tizen, so the question was around business model. So if we're talking about Tizen, right now, today, we're actually willing to do Tizen ports for free. So if you'd like to talk about Android or about BlackBerry or some of those other platforms, we're happy to have those conversations, but ping me today and we'll do your Tizen apps for free. All right. Thank you very much.
For that, and to remind everyone that if they could just go and use the mobile application and fill out the survey for this session, that would be great. We'd like your feedback. Thanks very much. Sorry.